Our text for our consideration this morning is a gospel lesson read to you previously. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, we pray that we, the hearers of your word, may not be too quick to judge others, but rather wait in patient confidence in the promise of Christ. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Like last Sunday, we have a split in the gospel. We have a parable given to the unbelieving crowds and to the disciples, and we have the explanation given to the disciples alone. The disciples, those who would become Jesus' authorized sent ones, or as we call them, the apostles. Now, Jesus is the subject of the parables. In this parable, the sower of good seed is identified as the Son of Man. The good seed is identified as the sons of the kingdom, people the Heavenly Father had planted in the field, or the world. Jesus also introduces the hostile one, the one who plants weeds in the midst of the harvest. This is, of course, the devil. The weeds are so close and so intertwined that if you pull out a weed, it may take a wheat plant with it. And so Jesus instructs his servants, who are clearly his apostles and later pastors, not to pull out the weeds, but let them grow until the harvest. Not until the end of the age will the evil ones be separated from the righteous. The sons of evil will be collected and bound to experience everlasting suffering, while the righteous will be gathered to a safe place where they reflect the holiness of God. So what can we learn from this? Well, first, that in the visible church in this world, there will both be genuine believers and hypocrites. I hear all too often these words. Oh, I don't go to church. There's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, where else do we want the hypocrites than in church so that they can hear the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can transform their hearts? You see, Jesus is contrasting his chosen apostles with the Pharisees, who pose as those included in the kingdom of God. Now the difference will be seen, and the genuine believers will be known by their fruits of faith, whereas the hypocrites will be identified by superficial attempts at self-justification. In other words, you see how good I am? Do you see all the things that I do at church? Do you notice how well I do them? This weedy fruit is recognized by their false teachings and false worship that tempts man to look on his own merits and good works as justification before God. In creating their own means of justification, they become numbered amongst the lawless. Now, speaking of works or even fruits of faith can cause us to squirm a little bit in the pews. The believer does not look at his own works or fruits. He focuses on Jesus Christ, who is the cause of faith and therefore the cause of all good works. Any works done outside of faith are nothing but filthy rags before God. Now, next we learn that the Lord instructs his authorized servants not to pull the weeds, but to let them grow with the wheat until harvest. There are some weeds, especially when they're young, that mimic the cash crop. In other words, there are those who sit in the house of God and they mimic the true believers when in fact they don't really believe. You don't know until the fruit shows that they are indeed weeds. And besides, pulling weeds isn't our role. Did you catch that? Sorting out the hypocrites is not our job. But the role of angel reapers at the end of this age. Now, this seems all too difficult to allow or even tolerate evil in the world, let alone in the very midst of our church. In fact, there are other passages that do stress separation from evil, such as when Jesus tells the disciples to cast out the leaven of the Pharisees, or when he empowers Peter and the others not only to loose the forgiven, but also to bind the unrepentant on earth. Don't judge me is one of the most repeated phrases in our culture. And what this really translates into is this: don't hold me accountable for anything I do or don't do. I am free to do whatever I want. Jesus' judgment is based on his standards. It is based on one thing: who are the wheat and who are the weeds? The two cannot be confused. The judgment will be visible in the final day. In the meantime, this parable calls for patience as we realize it is not for us to be the separators of wheat and weed. Instead, we are the wheat whom the Lord has planted to bear fruit, even sometimes in weedy fields. Boy, it's kind of hard to keep weed and wheat from tangling up in my tongue. Further, Paul warns the Corinthian church to cast out an immoral member of the congregation. We call that excommunication, which is all but defunct from the Christian church today. But you see, the true meaning of excommunication is designed to put fear in the erring so that they may repent and be restored to the church. But often it was being misused to punish those who have fallen into sin. In my pastorate, I only know of one excommunication, and that was at my church, and it was such a blatant and open and public blasphemy of God that there was no choice. But remember this, excommunication always, always, always has restoration in its intent. Is it not consistent with Jesus' other teachings and that of the apostles to be antinomian or against using God's law? Yet God's servants need to be careful not to judge too quickly that a son of evil is among them, especially since in our sin, we too are evil. The believer is simultaneously sinner and saint at the same time, and still carries with him or her one of the causes of sin, which is our flesh. My friends, we cannot look into the heart of another person and tell where their faith lies. Only Jesus can judge another person's heart. The church and her servants also do not have the power of the sword. That is, the power to carry out criminal punishment. The church used to do that. They would stone people. They would punish people. And that was the great travesty of what was known as the Inquisition, the medieval church's persecution of heresy. Certainly, when a law is broken, the civil authority has the right to punish and curb evildoers, but this authority is not given to the church. The false teachers and hypocrites will receive their punishment at the end of the age, when they will be cast with the devil and all causes of sin into eternal fire. And this is good news for the believer, for she can look forward to a new life without the causes of sin. She is gathered in for safekeeping. Yes, the same angels that cast the evil ones into the eternal fire are the same ones that are going to come and gather the believers and take them to heaven. Thus, the church will struggle with the causes of sin in the world and even the work of the devil in her midst. This is why we believers still on earth are called the church militant. And we have a whole section in our hymnal devoted to this teaching. Many people today complain about the strife in the organized church, but this is to be expected. Jesus says he does not bring peace, but a sword. Nevertheless, and above all, we learn from this text that already now in the church, true peace can be found in Christ Jesus, in the means of grace. Christ dwells with us and does his ministry through his called servants, and in his grace, we are already at peace with God, and at peace with our future. Jesus' death on the cross has sealed his pledge to redeem your bodies at that future date. His voice in the reading of the scriptures and the preaching of the word assures you that he is with you despite our suffering in an unbelieving world. I can assure you that Donna Smith had this peace in her heart. She knew that regardless what happened to her, she was at peace with the fact that the Lord would gather her up and take her to her heavenly rest. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be at peace in Christ. Don't be in anguish and consternation at the evil in the world. Look to the cross and find peace. This is the theology of the cross, where through suffering, a great good results. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So friends, for now, the world holds both belief and unbelief. But we are at peace because in the end, Christ will judge the difference. Thank goodness it's not us who judge. Christ will judge the difference. And the righteous will shine like the sun. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.